time. Now I'm the only sour cherry on the fruit stand. Right, am I the only sour cherry on the fruit stand?
Hey
Fat Albert.
Are you calling me Fat Albert?
Well, you know, you were saying hey, hey, hey. So.
Hey, it's Fat Albert. Is that how he does it?
So, yours sounds a little bit of Fat Albert with Yogi Bear.
I have no idea. I forget how Fat Albert sounds like, but hey, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Welcome again to the Tuesday only edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show.
It's Tuesday, but you can listen to it anytime you want.
That's right.
Because we're on iTunes.
That's right. You can download us on iTunes. And I think you have been able to download us on iTunes for a long time. We just never promoted it. I don't know why. I just sort of forgot that it's on iTunes.
I feel like we need to do something about that because even like our page has like the WordPress logo on it and stuff. We don't even have, like, our own logo on there.
It's one of the... after a while...
We need to, like, sprouse that up.
After a while, it's sort of annoying to update web pages. I don't know about you, but... Especially having to go into, what's it called? iTunes and... You know, it's not like people are paying for the show on iTunes anyway. So I'm just like, let them have it. It gets updated automatically. You know what I mean?
But I feel like, you know, maybe it might not be done the next week, the next month, or, you know... Hopefully the next year, but I do actually have plans.
Or 52 episodes from now, probably won't be updated, but we're thinking about updating it now.
We do actually have plans to do some type of branding for this show. We just have to get around to it.
That's right.
But speaking of which, can we talk about why we're so busy and why we don't have time to brand the show?
Yes, go ahead. Run with it.
Well, let's go through some of our upcoming appearances. You can see us August 28th and 29th at Baltimore Comic Con, September 11th and 12th at Small Press Expo in Bethesda, Maryland, October 2nd at Crafty Bastards.
Sorry about that. I had a setting a little bit messed up on your line, but now we can hear you clear. It doesn't sound like you're sick anymore, or it doesn't sound like you're all nasally. So start
sick.
That over. Start that because before say hum a little bit. Hum. Just
hum.
Go. No, just hum a little. Because now you sound like that, but before you sound like this. Well, I guess you can't really tell. But you sound... I had a little bit of setting a little bit low.
Oh, okay.
See, before we talk again.
Talk again? I'm talking.
Yeah, but see, now you sound clear, right?
I can't really tell a difference.
There, it's a definite difference, at least to me.
Well, do you know that other time we had technical difficulties?
At least to the technical person of the show.
But you know what, the other time we had technical difficulties, I sounded like I had reverb. Like, I guess it was maybe 4 or 5 shows ago.
See, do you hear the difference there?
I told you, I hear it now.
Yeah, see, you hear the difference there. No, it's not lower, it's just now there's no high end. Technically, there's no high. You know, like on like any mixer, you know, you can modify the highs. Like, look, now I'm taking away my highs. Now I'm all nasally. But if I bring back the highs now, and I'm like, oh, look, there's my high end. There goes my middle.
So we're manipulating our voices.
Yeah, or we can make it really bass level. Bass.
Are you photoshopping your voice?
No, I'm mixing the voice. But sorry about that. I had your channel messed up a little bit.
Yeah, but see, last time there was technical difficulties. I was hearing reverb, but then it really wasn't. It was just on my headset.
When were you hearing reverb?
Like about 5 or 6 episodes ago. 4 or 5 or 6
I don't remember.
It was like in the beginning of the show, and then I tapped you and I was like, oh, I'm hearing a little bit of reverb, and then you just changed it real quick and we didn't make that big a deal about it.
Because I knew exactly what that was. I just turned off a setting that would help. That would basically make it so I don't have to do so much post work on the audio. But then I was like, well, screw it. I'll just keep on going with
okay,
this.
Okay, enough of this. Technical talk.
People at home don't want to know how much effort I do to make the show sound as good as this?
People don't need to know that it's supposed to be a magical moment.
I remember there were a lot of emails of people saying like, how do you guys make the show sound so professional and sound so clean?
Because Joe's a professional.
Can you give me a list of all the stuff that you guys do? And we did. But it's just like, you know, it's just like if you buy a camera, it does not exactly mean you're going to take good photos. It just means I'm the shit, America. I'm sorry. just to feed my ego, which I have a healthy ego amount. But yeah, where are we going to be?
And this is why the Carolyn and Joe show is so freaking busy. Okay. So August 28th and 29th, we're at Baltimore Comic Con in Baltimore, Maryland, obviously.
Maryland.
And
we're a big fan of that show. I love that show.
September 11th through 12th, we are also in Maryland. We're at Small Press Expo in Bethesda. And then on October 2nd, we're at Crafty Bastards, and that's in D.C. in Adams Morgan neighborhood. And then on October 3rd, we're at the Capcom show, and I'm a special guest there, which is pretty cool.
So if you're a special guest, does that make me a special guest?
Yes.
No. It makes you a special guest, not me.
Well, you're a special guest to me.
I remember last time I was at any convention like that, and they asked me, so are you volunteering? I'm like, I'm the second half of this team, but it's okay.
Oh man.
No one can actually see my work, or at least in this world that I do of comics.
So on October 8th, 9th, and 10th, we're at New York Comic Con, and then
is that official now?
Yeah, but I want to hold off on some announcements, but.
But are we? So we definitely are going to be at New York Comic Con.
I still want to hold off on some stuff.
You just announced it.
Well, you know, that's when it is. And then on. Yeah,
you guys, don't forget to go. We might be or might not be there. But I guess we can't release any information about that. But yeah, it's happening.
It's happening.
The show is happening. Maybe you should check it out in the New York area. The New York.
Javits Center.
Yeah, the Manhattan
and
area.
And then on October 23rd is the DC Counter Culture Fest. So we'll let you know more details as
When was that? When was DC Counterculture?
It's on October... Actually, I'm incorrect. It's on the October 24th, not the 23rd. It's a Sunday. Thank you for that.
Sundays. It's on a Sunday?
Yeah. Because I have it down on my calendar as the 23rd. Let me check the website. I hope we don't have it wrong on the website. Because I had it on my calendar. Oh, it's right on the website. Okay, so I've been promoting it correctly as the 24th. So it's October 24th, Sunday at RFD in Chinatown, D.C. D.C. Counterculture Fest. We've been to every single D.C. Counterculture Fest.
So it's near... If it's in Chinatown, that means it's sort of...
Near the metro.
It's near the metro and it's near the Verizon Center.
Yeah.
So you guys can check that out. Go to New York Comic Con. It's the Javits Center, which is... Pretty close to Times Square, if you think about it.
Wait, you're hopping around venues now.
What do you mean? No, yeah, I'm hopping venues, but I'm just saying New York.
What are you talking about
I'm
now?
Saying New York, I'm
don't,
saying...
Don't get people confused about
I'm just
dates.
Saying they need to see us at all these shows.
So we're basically
the Baltimore Convention Center, right?
There's all over the place.
Was it the Doubletree or whatever it is?
That's at F Marriott.
The Marriott.
Do you know the old SPX location I heard got demolished?
That's cool.
I did kind
I guess
of have
it's not
a fondness
cool.
for that.
I guess it's not cool then.
I mean, I don't know.
Sometimes you
I don't
make
know what they put there.
Sometimes you gotta make space, right?
They just implode it, and then Chris Angel runs out, and he's like, "Now!"
Well, he should have said "now" beforehand, then, right?
remember, he'll come out of the rubble looking all dirty.
You cried.
Don't laugh at that. I was emotionally invested.
You cried when you thought Chris Angel died in the building. I love that. That was an amazing moment in history. You were like, Joe, no! It fell down!
Why are you laughing at me? I remember I was like sweating too. I was like, you know when you get like nervous sweat? I was like sitting there like in a ball, like thinking that Chris Angel died and like I was all sweaty.
I thought that was...
I'm sure that's a nice picture of you to think.
I thought that was all great. It was really great because what was it? It was like Chris Angel's first ever live show right on A&E and he was going to escape escape an imploding building.
Yeah, there was like a hotel in Florida that they're already going to plan on demolishing. It was like an old hotel. And basically they like locked him in there with handcuffs and everything. He was like locked to the railing. And he had a certain amount of time to somehow get out and like reach a helicopter that was waiting for him at the top. And then if at a certain time they asked the helicopter to leave no matter what.
Because the helicopter will apparently get sucked into the implosion of the building.
And so like when you know they have this time counter and they have different angles of camera views going on and this whole do you remember what the time limit was? I don't know.
Maybe it was like 3 minutes or
yeah. He had like
minutes.
3 minutes, but then at the 2 minute mark, if he wasn't on the helicopter or something like that, then the helicopter leaves without him. And then the helicopter leaves without him, and then like this building is bombing and then it just like falling down and there was no Chris.
But see, I thought this was a pretty amazing show because you know they've built up the whole entire episode of like I don't know, the escape from the whatever,
the shackles.
The destruction of the building. He's like, this is my first ever show and live show, and I want to make it special. And he showed, you know how like in every Criss Angel show they build up to the final, you know, the big trick at the very end. And so like the whole build up in the show, he's going to like all these locksmiths and saying like, so no one can break out of these, right? And he's doing this thing, and he's basically what he's doing throughout the whole show is he's breaking down how he has to escape like the building. And like they say, like, okay, he has to unlock this. So during the show, he's practicing unlocking and testing and getting all the speed and all that stuff, right? So after all that build up of like the making of, like, he starts, like, you know, he starts announcing once he gets handcuffed to the railing of the balcony area. You know, he starts yelling out, saying, like, it's raining up here. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's going to get pretty slippery. You know, all the drama is put in the right place. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it took him an extremely long amount of time to undo himself from the handcuffs. And then you see the time. He's like, oh, crap. It took him way too much time to undo that. He has a minute and a half out of 3 minutes. And then he couldn't, like, it was raining and he couldn't unlock the door to get into it. So he's like, oh, crap, it's going to explode. So he kicks down the window of the door and runs in. And he has to, like, slowly break through the doors.
Do you think that disqualified him technically if he didn't go through one of the supposed break-in points?
I guess
through an actual door instead?
I guess you can be disqualified or you can look like you just died.
Well, basically, like,
but
he didn't do that.
No, but see, like, looking at it as like a production perspective, I thought it was perfectly placed. Like, I know there's no, you know, there's magic there or there's illusions happening, but I thought like all the buildup was like perfectly placed. Like, he already, Criss Angel during the episode already built up, like, listen, I can get through these handcuffs in this amount of time.
They're like Remington
Hell. Yeah, they went into so much detail about how he can break out of it, and I can go through all these. And then when the day comes, you know, you see Criss Angel's like listing things. He's like, oh, it's wet, it's raining outside, something's happening, or all of a sudden he can't get into the door and he has to kick through it. I was like, holy crap, that is perfect drama right there. It's like all the stuff that you've already put over that Criss Angel can easily do, now he can't do it and he's running out of time.
Did they have that host that was all British during that too?
Yeah.
And he was like the same host from Phenomenal or Phenomenon.
I thought it was great. And also they had like the four camera view of him going through the hallway when he's trying to, like, he has to unlock all these doors. He has to pick the locks of all these doors. And then as he gets there's four cameras as he gets to the roof. And there's one more door, and you see him like trying to get it, but he's having all this trouble. And like the helicopter is swooming over, and all of a sudden, like, it's like, oh yeah. And also they said like Criss Angel has to get onto the roof at least 45 seconds before like the helicopter lands there, so he won't get sucked in. And then when he got up there, he was already in like the zero. I was like, damn, this is awesome drama. And then you see the helicopter leave.
I want to watch it again. That was like actually one of my favorite moments in all of TV history.
And then the helicopter leaves, and then you just see Chris, and all of a sudden all the cameras go out, and then like it, like the
then
building
you just see
destroys.
The rubble just go down, and then like you know, they really did milk the time, and then all of a sudden Chris appears.
From a writer standpoint, and from a, you know, even a professional wrestler standpoint, I thought that was put over like perfectly. Like, they couldn't have done it any better for people.
But I remember
to enjoy
you were
that.
Saying that like his
sorry. Now I got
are you,
sniffles.
Are you all snick? Snickers? Are you snick?
Snick.
Are you Nickelodeon snick. For teens?
Snick.
Is that what Snick was? Was it Nickelodeon for teens?
No, that was Snick was like
the Saturday night
yeah.
Snick.
Am I all snick?
Are you all Saturday night snick?
Yes, I'm Are You Afraid of the Dark, and Clarissa Explains It All.
My best part of Clarissa Explains It All was when her neighbor came in and it had that guitar.
Whatever happened to that guy? That guy is not even doing anything.
I don't
now.
Know, man. We should check him on IMDb.
We don't really have to.
Sometimes I wonder about people and then I'm like, I need to check and see what he's up to. Like, I don't even remember his character name or anything. I just remember he had that sound effect when he came in the door.
Yeah, so we just came back from Baltimore Comic Con. Philly Alternative Comic Con. All these Comic Cons with the rhyming and the
there
stuff.
Is no rhyming.
Well, there's, you know, the
cities?
The
syllables. Cities to keep track
the
of?
The syllables.
Wait, Baltimore, Philadelphia.
Philly.
Philly,
Alternative
that's two.
Comic Con.
Well,
Comic-Con at the end of it. Whatever, we came back. So what'd you think of Philly? I think that's the first time I've been to Philly in, like, years.
It's the first time I've been to Philly in 10 years. And we were only there for the total of maybe how many hours? 18 hours?
We did have a lot of time to go through the area. One of the things I felt was very, I thought just beautiful in a sense, is that basically in the project section of Philadelphia, because we went to the Poe Museum, right?
Yeah.
And the Poe Museum is right in the projects. I was like, this is awesome, man. As soon as we get out of there, then we see all like hoodlums and stuff like that. But I think that's how it usually is.
It wasn't actually that bad.
It wasn't bad, but I knew when you're there, you're like, this is the projects.
I mean, they had signs that said it was the projects.
It's like...
like, you know what you're like, getting into.
Take a left to the projects and the Poe Museum. Popo.
Yeah, we went to the Poe Museum early in the morning because that opens up at 9 and it's free. And so we were like, let's hit that up first. First, we found this place to have breakfast. I don't remember what the place was, though.
But when you're going into Philly... what are your impressions of Philly when you go in there? What are the three things that come to mind when you think of Philadelphia?
My impressions of Philadelphia actually changed while I was there.
But when going into it, while driving up, what are your first three things that you're expecting out of Philadelphia? For all those Philly fans that we have out there, pass judgment on them, and then you can change the judgment.
It's not actually the people that are in Philadelphia that bother me. It's more like the Philadelphia Eagles. They're like, you know, I'm not even like a real football fan really that much, but I just really don't like the Eagles. I feel like they're a dirty team. I feel like every time I think about them, I just feel like I need to take a bath. Like they're just dirty.
They're just dirty.
Yeah, I just feel like dirty when I think about the Philadelphia Eagles.
So that's really all you think about Philadelphia
Eagles. And I also wanted to have cheesesteak, like an authentic cheesesteak. That was one of my missions. So I really wanted to try out the food of the city. But then my opinion of the whole city has totally changed, which I can give you an aftermath about that as well.
Why don't you give me an aftermath?
Well, like now...
Well, I wanted to know beforehand that we get the before and after.
Well, I'll tell you the after, because like...
No, tell me the before.
The before? I just did. My impression of Philly basically revolves around the Philadelphia Eagles and how dirty they are and how dirty of a team they are.
So like when we were driving into like the big highway that goes right into it and you pass like the football stadium, you're like... this is a dirty place. Look at that stadium. That's where the Eagles are.
Yeah.
Eagles, like American Eagles, are dirty.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about the Eagles. And I don't even really watch football. I don't even care. Like, I only really care if the Redskins make the Super Bowl or, like, you know, get close to, like, the playoffs or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, besides that, I could really care less. I don't even know who is the quarterback. I guess, and also the quarterback of the Redskins, I think, is Donovan McNabb, which...
I can't even tell you who quarterback of anything is.
No, but he used to, I think, play for the Eagles, which I don't even know for sure, but someone else can verify that, but I don't
Your
even
brother
know.
Will. Your brother.
Yeah, but, like,
He's the man when it comes to all sports.
Yeah, he is, but I don't know anything.
We'll call him Mr. Statistic.
So we actually have,
can we call your brother Mr. Statistic?
Mr. Stat.
Mr. Statistic.
And the thing here's the thing about the whole Eagles thing. Is that I feel like the Redskins quarterback is from the Eagles. So then it's like maybe the Redskins are dirty now. I don't know.
Just because they have that? Just because they have one person?
Yes, because it's tainted. Tainted from the dirt of Philadelphia.
It's like anyone that's like slept with like Paris Hilton or like a porn star is like tainted
for
life.
The Eagles have STDs and if they come to Philly STDs and then they come to, you know, DC and bring their STDs with us and now everyone has AIDS.
but you're saying that like the whole entire Philadelphia has STDs or something like that.
They might. But actually the thing is that DC actually has a bigger AIDS epidemic than anyone. It's actually like an epidemic.
They have
like 5% AIDS ratio.
They have so much AIDS it's AIDS academic. So like,
to be honest with you, for all you Philly people, to be honest with you, like I'm the one to really speak because the town I'm from is like an AIDS epidemic. So I mean like.
Wait. My town isn't from there.
Yeah, but we're from the greater Washington.
That's right.
DC
we're in the
area.
Greater, not the normal DC.
Not the
we're
normal.
In the greater.
But you know. So I'm just saying, technically, our closest biggest city that we affiliate ourselves with is like an AIDS-ridden place.
But isn't Fairfax a city?
Yeah, but it's not like a city that people know. You know, like, I'm talking about, like, D.C.
Fairfax might be the closest city?
No, there's a ton of other cities.
They're all cities. Oh, actually,
yeah.
I guess those are counted as towns.
Or whatever, towns, counties, It doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is that the closest
What you're saying is Philadelphia is dirty, and now D.C. is STD.
No, D.C. is AIDS, and Philadelphia is STD. Philadelphia is a lower level of dirty than D.C.
So, and then you're like, and now you're saying like, oh, Philadelphia's dirty players. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
Well, I just thought of that realization. So here, like I said, here I am criticizing a city to be more dirty than my own.
Like Jericho says, you bunch of hypocrites and parasites.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened just now. So that's okay, you know. Oh, well. But my opinion of Philadelphia has changed a little bit from my one day being there.
What changed it?
Just being there, and the people weren't as bad as I thought it would be. I had I came into the Philadelphia Alternative Comic Con with, like, no expectations. I didn't know what the venue looked like, and it's hard to, like, kind of travel that far, you know, from Virginia to Philly, to go to a, like, one-day comic show, and, like, so much invested in that, but you don't really know, like, anyone or what the whole event's gonna be or anything. So I knew going into it that it was gonna be hot as hell, and that the venue had no air conditioning.
All I knew is there's going to be no air conditioning, and you kept on warning me of that. I was like, well, we go from venues that have all super air conditioning to the point where you're freezing,
yeah.
And now it's a place that has all lack of air conditioning.
But you know what? I prefer lack of air conditioning. I know that you're the opposite of
it. And also, guys, you can check out photos from the Philly Alternative Comic-Con on Carolyn's blog site, or just go to curls-studio.com.
Or you can search for Curl Studio on Facebook.
Yeah, or just Google Curl Studio.
Or, you know, Google. You know, we're on the internet.
Yeah.
Check us out.
We're on the internet right now, bitches.
We'll see. Okay, so I didn't know anything going into the show, and I actually prefer the lack of air conditioning compared to SPX of last year. It was freezing like a freezer, and I felt like I was in there with penguins. You know, I was pretty much like...
I'm in there with penguins.
Yeah. It was cold, man. Anyway, so I was happy that there was no air conditioning in that sense, but it was still, like, hot as hell.
I still don't understand how D.C. has the most AIDS.
It does. D.C. has an AIDS epidemic. It's almost 5%.
How do you record, like, you just check off people, like, on a big list, and, like, that person has AIDS, he has AIDS.
But this is, like, full-blown AIDS.
Can we put them, like, in their own side of town?
I don't know how it works. All I know is that D.C. has been considered an epidemic, and it's been worse than some countries in Africa.
Can we put them on their own Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, just hide them all away.
taking away my phone.
Well, you know, you can't really be on the phone and texting while we're radio.
That's
show.
Not true. I was talking to Hannah Elvington, my makeup artist, one time, and we were having this debate. Actually, it wasn't a debate at all. And actually, I think she was
Then what was it? Conversation.
I mean, it wasn't a debate at all, as in one person was completely right and there was no questioning of either side. But she was like, I was like, can't you just do both of those at the same time? And she was like, Joe, don't you know girls can't multitask like guys? Guys can multitask 10 times better than girls. And I'm like, are you saying girls can't do two things at once? And she's like, yes. And I was like, all right.
Do you believe that?
I don't know, but apparently she didn't want to do two things. She didn't want to multitask.
I don't know. I know a couple girls that can multitask.
It was just sort of surprised because I never heard that before. I never heard, like, oh, there's a certain... I didn't know it was a battle between the sexes of, like, oh, girls can't multitask and guys can multitask. Or, you know what I mean? I didn't know there... Maybe I just don't believe in that division of the two sexes like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I believe they all can do exactly the same thing. I treat all of them, all sexes, equally. All of them equally. And what that really just means is I probably will despise them all equally. Well, it's not. I have an equal opportunity despiser.
I'm an equal opportunity offender.
But that means I can text and do the radio show at the same. I'm already doing.
You
four,
want your phone back?
I'm already doing four things at the same time.
Here, you can have your phone back.
I'm already doing four things at the same time.
Okay, Gina? Well, you go ahead and text.
I'm just checking to see who called.
Jeez.
Jeez, man. Jeez Louise.
Now you're interrupting the show.
I'm not interrupting the show. I'm making the show absolutely entertaining.
It is awesome. Well, back to the Philly conversation at hand. So, you know, I went into the show thinking nothing of it. I was just like, hey, might as well expand the fan base and do this Philly show. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been up there in 10 years. Why not go up? We were originally going to try to go up on Saturday. That didn't really, you know, work out. And if we ever do go up, I do want to see the Eastern State Penitentiary. And that was going to be the plan. But, you know, we didn't really feel like paying for hotel and going up there and spending the whole weekend up there.
But see, that was actually like whatever the straw that broke the camel's back, whatever the hell it was.
What is that straw who breaks the camel's back?
I don't know.
Heck is that?
Isn't there a saying that says that?
You need to know what it is before you can use it.
This is where I drew the line. I don't know what the hell. There's a lot of those sayings that mean bullshit.
Make sure you get all your ducks in a row.
I didn't even want to use one of those. It just seems
like, what is that supposed to mean?
Get all your ducks in a row. Why the fuck would you want to get ducks in a row, man?
Because you want to like shoot them or something.
It's like, so make
or
sure like, you get all your ducks in a row.
Make
it's like,
sure
why?
You
well,
can
ducks.
kill two birds with one stone.
I mean, I understand to kill two birds with one stone. That to me visually that makes complete sense.
But what does the ducks
mean? Picture this. All right, I'm trying to tackle two things at once and making them both, you know, get accomplished. Oh,
like multitasking.
I'm killing two birds with one stone. That makes complete sense to me.
So that one makes sense.
Killing two birds with one stone.
So what is the straw that breaks
the camel's back? Apparently it's, you know, maybe the camel's holding something, carrying something.
But isn't the camel really good at breaking or at having a good back because it carries a lot on
it? But maybe that's the thing.
But
it's
maybe
like,
a
oh,
little strong.
Yeah, maybe that's
him?
The one. It's set it over. Maybe that's what it means, Gina. And then I don't know what the hell. Make sure you get your ducks in a row.
One of my old bosses used to always say that. He'd
hey,
be like, make sure you get
hey
all
Carolyn,
your ducks in a row.
Carolyn, make sure you get your ducks in a row.
I'm like, all right.
That was sort of like a Richard Nixon one. Make sure you get your ducks in a row now.
It's like Richard Nixon, Sean Connery.
Richard Nixon and the James Stewart doing that.
Jimmy
oh,
Stewart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but see, I think getting your ducks.
I forget what I was talking
about.
I think
getting your ducks in a row means that you have your ducks like lined up to shoot them.
Why would you shoot your ducks?
I don't know, but like, you know, like a shooting range, isn't that what it means? Or like you have everything tidy.
Like duck hunt?
Yeah, like you have everything tidy, so you have everything ready to go, you know, in case something happens. I don't know. We should come up with a list of all these sayings. But anyway, what you were getting at is for Philly, we were looking for a lot of
places to go, you know, usually stay overnight and enjoy the city. You know, and it was pretty expensive for a place where it's just like it wasn't really that far. You know, it's not like we're going into Charlotte, North Carolina for Heroes Con. Six, seven, 8 hours away or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, we can't come back. You know, that's one of those things where you can drive there and you need a place to stay. And it's also a multi-day convention. But going to Philly, you know, that's like a high school field trip, like how we did in high school to go see the Science Museum.
I never went to Philly in high school.
Not Philly, but elementary school.
But I never had that field trip, but go ahead.
But basically, so we're looking for places, and I was like, oh man, I don't really feel like spending over $50, right? $50, because when we went to the West Coast, all of our places were $50, $60. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$50, $55, something like that. No, all these places in Philly, all these hotels and joints were like 80 or $100 and stuff like that.
Or even
like,
for the high-end ones was even crazier.
Yeah, and like so I started to look at like the lower ones, like the ones that are like 50 or 40 that are
they're
sort
all
of...
They're all
New Jersey, but also I started reading the message. I started reading the messages. They say like, oh, let's review this place. And I was like, ah, this place doesn't seem too bad. Let me read the reviews. The first review I read, the first thing, you know how it can, on the front page, it'll list like the top three reviews, like the headlines.
Yeah.
And like the $40 places are like, don't stay here. What a dump. All my stuff was stolen.
You get what you pay for.
it's just like bed bugs. It's like,
ew. Bed bugs are gross because, you know, if you don't get the bed bugs out, even if you have one, actually, you only need two to propagate. So even if you have two of those bugs and say you just happen to, like, take your clothes off when you get home and, like, throw it on the ground or something.
Yeah.
Like, and if those bed bugs propagate, then you're just...
What's propagate?
If they have sex and have babies...
How do they have sex?
How does anybody have sex?
I've never seen insects have sex before.
Joe, how do you think they get born?
I thought they have like stuff like how bees don't they carry stuff, then they just like
artificial
insemination. Isn't that how insects have sex? Yeah, like artificial insemination, Michael Jackson style insemination.
Ew.
Don't touch me.
But maybe like, I don't know how they exactly have sex, but I'm just saying if you get bed bugs, I'm just saying you're basically, as another phrase that people like to say, up shit creek, whatever that is.
I've never heard that before in my whole entire life.
That's a phrase I've heard. It's up like if shit you're up creek? Shri- you're up shit creek, like, you're,
how
like
are you even
something
supposed
bad's
to spit,
gonna happen.
How are you even supposed to spit that out? Up shit creek. Oh, I guess I just did it.
Yeah.
Well then, you're just up shit. You're up, what is it, you're up the...
You're up shit creek.
No,
if
but there's
you
another
have...
one, you're like, you're up the river without a paddle, and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're like...
He's up the river without a paddle.
Stupid.
Is that what it is? I don't know if that's
yeah,
proper.
Yeah, there's something like that. But anyway, but you're like up
don't,
the river
don't
without
your
a paddle.
Wait, don't count your chickens before they, or don't count your something before they hatch.
Don't, what is it? Was something about feeding a gift horse in the mouth?
What the fuck is a gift horse? Hey, little Susie, guess what I got you? Exactly what you wanted. A gift horse. I wanted a pony. Well, don't look it in the mouth.
What is it? Don't feed the don't something in the gift horse, because it's like
what?
No, it says
don't
like,
something in the gift horse. Don't fuck the gift horse.
No, it means that you're like if somebody gives you a gift, you shouldn't like mess up them because they're the one that gave you a gift.
What?
A gift horse.
So you calling the person who gives a gift a horse?
I don't know.
Hey, we're gonna call this guy a gift horse.
I don't know where these things come from. Anyway,
I don't even know if that's a real one, kid. I think you just made that up.
No, it is real. I've heard it.
I understand. Like, there's.
Anyway,
gift horse.
So anyway, basically,
DC has AIDS.
DC does have AIDS, and it's dirty. Anyway,
clean
so,
it up.
So then,
who's the mayor of DC?
Fenty.
Giuliani. Oh.
Adrian Fenty.
Tell Fenty to get rid of AIDS.
But I think he might be like leaving
soon. Does he have AIDS?
Yeah, he died.
No one dies of AIDS.
Magic. If magic made it, we all can. Well, anyway.
What
so
is it?
Is our show ending?
You can make it through anything if magic made it.
Well, anyway, the music's still on, so our show's still on. What I'm saying is that we didn't get to stay overnight in Philly, but then
we were supposed to go see the
EVP.
That was what I was really I was excited about that because really it was really challenging for me to find out something in Philly to go look for.
So
to go visit,
the Eastern Penitentiary.
Because you know the first thing that people list.
ESP.
Whenever I ask anyone, even on Twitter or on text message or whatever, everyone, even Sanjay Dutt, I was like, "What is So you've been to Philly before because Sanjay has wrestled in ECW Arena, which is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see a wrestling event over at the arena.
But alas,
it was not. There was none.
Is that one of
There's
those?
There's no Ring of Honor, no CZW, no Pro Wrestling Unplugged, anything. But So I was like, then what else am I going to look for? And of course, everyone's all like, I don't know, go see the Liberty Bell.
Joe, don't stare a gift horse in the mouth.
So I'm supposed to stare?
I don't know. Wait. I'm going to look it up, what it means
on the
internet.
You're going to iPhone it? You're going to touch it?
No, I don't have an iPhone.
You're
going to
touch it?
Touch.
You're going to touch it?
I'm going to touch it. Stare a gift horse in the mouth?
You're looking up what it's supposed to mean?
I don't even know what it... I know what it means, but I want to know that...
I don't even know who you
here,
are
it
anymore.
It says, stare a gift horse in the mouth. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. The origin of this phrase.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It's a proverb.
A proverb? John 13, 16.
Continue.
So there's nothing else really I could look for. People are like, go. I was like, all right, well, what should I look for in Philly? You know, and I bet Philly's good. It's one of those main cities, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, can you go see the Liberty Bell? And I was like, I even remember that you pitched that to me. He's like, you want to go see the Liberty Bell? And I was like, it's a big crack bell. And I heard it's not even the real thing that they have out there.
And then you were like, yeah, you just, what do you do? You just go and see there and look at a bell for 5 minutes?
You're supposed to just look at it?
Okay.
And they're like, I guess we can't do that.
What do horses have to do with giving? When a veterinarian or other expert assesses the value of the horse, he will look closely at the teeth. Horses' teeth change dramatically as they mature and grow older. A dental exclamation can reveal the age of the horse, while providing a helpful indication of the animal's overall health as well.
the hell is this supposed to mean at all about the checkpoint... looking gift horse in the mouth?
What?
Just Google gift horse.
If one has given a gift of a horse.
It's going to be a picture of a horse in a box.
Maybe that
this
should
is
be,
a gift horse.
Maybe that should be my sketch before sleep tonight.
It's a gift horse.
According to the
Look
proverb.
Look at it, it's a gift horse.
According to the proverb, if one is given a horse as a gift, then that person should accept the gift without seeking a closer look, at least in front of the giver. So behind the giver, you can, like, check his teeth. After all, a gift is free. If the recipient did not pay for the horse,
no gift
then why
is free.
Should he nitpick about his age, health, or other features? I guess that makes sense. I still think it's kind of silly.
So, yeah.
So what don't look a gift horse in the
yeah.
mouth.
So what am I supposed to do? Look at this Liberty Bell and see the crack on it? After that, you know, if 10 minutes go by, you're out of there. I was like, so, all right, what else do they have in Philadelphia? No one can think of anything. They're like, oh, you can go walk around downtown. But then Carolyn brought up the fact of like, oh, we can go see this penitentiary. This, is that what it was?
Eastern State Penitentiary.
Eastern State Penitentiary. And so, this Eastern State Penitentiary, I was like, this seems like pretty cool because Capone stayed there and there's deaths in there. But the one thing that really, really triggered my mind to like really want to go to this penitentiary.
Was it the dog?
Oh, yeah, one of the things was...
Because for me, that's what sold me.
So, yeah, on the website, they have a list of famous criminals. Or
famous inmates that
inmates
stayed
that
there.
Stayed there, that stayed in there. Remember, I just got back from, I just came back from San Francisco, and I looked at Alcatraz from far away. I was like, man, one day I want to go to Alcatraz. So I've already been thinking about, like, oh, let's go to these cool, possibly scary,
you
like,
go to prison.
Scary prisons or penitentiaries or something like that. And so this popped up. I was looking at the website, and then one thing Carolyn pointed out was that there was a dog that served time there.
But there was like a thing
but
that
he
said.
But he had a shot. He had what's it called?
He had a headshot of him with his inmate number.
Yeah, he was holding the inmate number. With the dog at the inmate number.
It looked all badass too. It was like some black lab, and they said according.
I was like, that's gonna be Black Magic's friend.
Yeah, according to the
from our comic book, Black Magic Tales.
According to the story, is that I think it was some former governor of the state of Pennsylvania. According to the theory, is that that dog actually killed his wife's cat, and then that's why he sent him to the jail. But then there's other theories that he really just sent him to the jail for morale boost of the other inmates.
But still, he has a mugshot.
He actually has a mugshot with an inmate number.
So, like, that was it. At that moment, I was like, wow, this is a pretty cool place.
You're like, I gotta go here because this dog was an inmate here.
And then, also, the next step after that, I was I was like, that place sounds familiar. And I Googled it, and I cross-referenced it with Ghost Hunters. And the Ghost Hunters have been there and had a whole episode based on that. So that even put it over more. And they were like, oh, there's some scary stuff happening over here. And they had nighttime footage of a ball moving on the ground or something, like shadows, you know, like just like any other ghost hunters, they just have shadows cool. in the background.
Yeah, see, we need to go there one day, so maybe next year at Philly Alternative Comic Con we can go.
But alas, we didn't get a chance to go to on this one because, you know, next time we'll see. It didn't really, because, you know,
and also,
I felt like we can still do the show. The show started like at noon, so it's one of those things.
It started at noon. Oh, anyway, so what happened was we ended up just going up on Sunday, and we still want to check out some of the area, so we had breakfast first, and I forget where we ate, but it was like pretty good price. It was like $4 for like a big breakfast too, and then you know it's a good place if you see like two cops outside eating there.
Cops inside, they're sitting there. You're like,
this is a pretty safe
neighborhood,
you know,
then.
Well, safe on top of like just you know it's good if local cops are eating at that breakfast.
That's right.
Because local cops wouldn't eat at like a shitty breakfast.
But there was a place that we did stop by also that we saw. We didn't stop by, but we saw a building that was Spaghetti Warehouse. It was a warehouse. It looked like a real warehouse.
Yeah, it was. And like next time we go up, we should eat there. Because I didn't realize it was a restaurant.
I didn't know. I thought it was just like an abandoned.
Well, I thought because there was a whole bunch of abandoned buildings that looked all cool.
That looked exactly
with the
painted like that
brick.
Yeah.
So we'll check that out next time.
Now we gotta check them again because, you know, who knows? Maybe that's just how all their buildings look.
Yeah, maybe.
They all just look abandoned and stuff
in
Philly.
So at 9 o'clock a.m. we checked out the Poe Museum. It's free. And, you know, we figured, like, again, the show started at noon, so we had 4 hours. So we checked out the Poe Museum. It was pretty cool. Like, I mean, it's not really renovated, because I learned that Edgar Allan Poe had, like, basically the only things he owned was the clothes on his back and then something that was in, like, a small trunk. So imagine really owning nothing.
Yeah.
Practically nothing. So it was interesting to learn things about him there. And actually, his house is the only surviving house that he has in Pennsylvania, in Philly. But he lived at other places, but this is the only surviving one. And it was good. And then in the basement, the cellar part was really like the creepy area there.
I thought that, to me, that was the most exciting part.
Because also, there's a slug down there.
Because what's always really cool is, like, you know, you have like those, not the hosts, but those national. Historic
National Park Service?
Yeah, the Park Service people there. You know what I mean? And they're always telling you, they're
like
always
rangers.
Asking. Yeah, like those rangers. Yeah, they look like they're still dressed like rangers and
that's
stuff like
that. That's their uniform.
But they're always so like ready to tell you about this certain section. You know what I mean? I thought that was really cool. They're all like, oh, are you ready to go upstairs? Like when we go upstairs, that's the section. Like his mom was sick, and like they kept on. You know, they're so into the story.
Yeah.
And like that's what happened. They're like, oh, and when we were done, when we thought we were done with the whole tour, we walked upstairs, went outside, and this is Sunday, so there wasn't really anyone there. And once we walked back inside, this lady was like, we first went to the restroom, and then the lady was like, came back, just like, oh, did you see the cat? Have you heard about the cat? Have you been downstairs? Oh, you need to go downstairs. And then she told us, she went down there, you know, it's this creepy basement, really. There's nothing down there. It looks like Blair Witch basement, really. It's what, to me, the first thing that popped in my mind is this is the basement of the Blair Witch Project. And she was like, yeah, this is where this story takes place, and this is where this story takes place. And then after that, she's like, I'll see you later. And then she leaves. I was just down there. I'm like, all right. See you later, man. And it's just like this scary basement. And she ditches us.
She's like, I'll let you have this.
Yeah, I'll let you soak it in for a second. It was just like in the Twilight Zone ride. Did you have a nice ride?
Oh, that's good, though. I had a good time at the Poe Museum. And then after that, what did we do after that? We just drove.
We went to the show.
Oh yeah, we were having GPS problems because that GPS that you have
sucks in the city.
In the city, like it kept like making us go around and around in circles for no reason. We went on the same block like 5 times. It's irritating.
Yeah, the GPSs, man.
And so then you had a GPS on your phone, and luckily we had that so we could find where the venue was. And then we set up. Everything was pretty good for the show. I mean, like they already had the tables marked of where you're supposed to be.
You know, there were a lot of girls at this show. Yeah. Actually, like, when you're looking around, there's, like, a major, like, it felt like the people that are attending were a lot of girls. And a lot of, like, the, you know, the cut-up jean shorts people.
I feel like Philly has
everyone
a lot
has
of cut-up
jeans. I don't know how to describe
the
that.
Bike jeans.
Yeah.
It felt like a very biker area, indie biker.
Like, we're not talking about like motorbike. We're talking about like
no, not like
Huffy.
Harley, not like Harley. Huffy.
I guess I don't know who people ride. Do those guys ride Huffies? That's the only bike brand I know is Huffy.
Is Huffy like what type is that?
It's a, you know, it has 2 wheels.
Oh, like a bike.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like, but the show was good. You know, like I can't complain. I think we did well, and we met like new people from Philly area, and then some people from Delaware and some people from New York.
Yeah, I thought that was cool that like it really was the center point.
Yeah, and a lot of people
came. It's not
came
too far
from,
for people from New York. It's not too far for people in Baltimore.
People came even from D.C., I heard.
I mean, we did.
Yeah, and so like, you know, people came from all over, which was really awesome. It felt like to me like a mini small press expo in Philadelphia.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I could do a Seth Rogen voice. I can't do it.
What is the
Seth Rogen giggle?
Yeah.
Seth Rogen. I can't do it. I'll try to do it.
Was there a lot of guys like that there?
No, I just had it in my head. I had to say it.
Yeah, there's like all different types of people. All different ages too. And then there was like even people that like really know their stuff from like comics of long time ago, and also I ended up doing a lot of commissions, which I was not expecting to do because I didn't even bring any pens or anything.
You're just like, no one really asked for commissions over at the small press stuff. Really, that was what was surprising.
I think I've only got like one commission out of all the times at SPX.
I always feel that like those, the indie shows, like I almost feel like that commissions are almost like frowned upon. You know, the people are like, commissions? You mean you're gonna pay me to draw? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I always feel like that's just not what people do at the indie convention. That's like more of the main stream conventions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just like really wasn't expecting it to be like that type of convention, but I was happy it was because I like doing the sketches.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, who's that artist that you said doesn't really like to do it at conventions because this is the only time he can actually meet people and talk to people?
Mike Allred?
Yeah, like, I do.
Oh, Mike Allred's going to be at Baltimore.
He is.
And Tom McFarlane. I'm still a fan, guys.
Well, like, see, to me, like, I do kind of, like, halfway agree with that because there's so many times where you're in your basement or whatever just, like, working on comics, not talking to anyone, and such, like, a lonely thing in some ways, so that at a convention, when you get to actually talk to people, you get that immediate, like, gratification of talking to somebody, and especially, like, the next day if they come back and they're like, hey, I read your book, this is awesome, and, like, they start talking to you about it. You know, you get that instant reaction, whereas other times, most, like, whatever, 360 other days of the year, you're in your basement, like, working, and you don't really get to talk to anybody.
But that's also what's cool these days is with the internet. Now you can interact in some way, but also it hides people from talking in person.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, I kind of agree with what Mike Allred is saying, because this is the only time where you can actually see people in person and talk to them. So it's like, does he really want to be sitting there with, like, a pad of paper in his lap, all hunched over, drawing, and not looking at anybody and talking?
That's the main person I want to meet at Baltimore. You know, there's always, you know, being behind the table now, it's always a different perspective at being at the conventions. So I'm just going for the people that I really, really want to meet, like my heroes. And Mike Allred is up there.
Because you wanted to meet him last year, but his wife was sick.
Yeah, and I specifically was all, like, pumped up about seeing him. I hope he... I'm going to ask him if he's going to be here this year.
He should.
I'm going to get him to trace his hand. This year, I'm going to bring a pen specifically. It's made so people won't make marks on their hand. So
is
I always feel bad about
it. Is there
such
a pen available?
Yeah, it's right here.
Where?
This one.
What is that?
It's a thinner one.
Oh, okay.
That makes more sense, right?
A Sharpie Industrial. What is industrial? Super permanent ink. So that would be helpful when they get it on their skin.
Yeah, but when when you trace it, this is a little bit, it's a finer point.
So the shape is different, but the ink is super permanent.
Well, I'll find one that's not that permanent.
I was like, this industrial Sharpie, that would work.
I'll get one of those Crayola watercolor pens. So, like, don't worry about it, just wash it off.
Yeah, if that works, but, I mean, I like the shape of this. You can get regular Sharpies that are the same shape.
Yeah,
I just
feel bad when people have when I do that project and people have like marks. But it'll be funny. It'll be just like when remember in Superbad when they had, oh dude, we're blood brothers, and they have like the same blood mark on them from that girl. Like,
yeah, that would be funny.
What if they all
get
like,
your favorite comic artist to do that?
They all look around. They're like, hey, yeah, you traced your hand too, man. You know, they're like, yeah, there's the guy. Let's go get him.
They're all gonna hate you.
They already hate me. I always have a feeling they all hate me anyway.
They do?
Yeah.
Why do you get that feeling?
I think that's like the first impression I get out of anyone, really, is that they're just gonna
hate
me.
They're just like, I hate you.
Yeah, they're like, I did something already that somehow I misspoke or somehow I wrote.
What did you do wrong?
Or the way I act. So people are just gonna immediately hate me anyway.
But you shouldn't have that opinion. You should never assume what people think of you.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt.
Or you should always assume the best. Instead of assuming the worst.
But it doesn't hurt, because more or less I'm still going to approach them anyway. I just think like, oh, I'm two words away from them hating me, so, or being mad at me. So if they're already feeling like that, what am I going to lose?
I guess.
If like, even if they talk to me, then I'm like, oh, that's a score. They hate, you know, they like me, you know?
And you're like, what do I have to lose? And, then,
like,
and then they trace their hand for you and get ink all over their hand, and then they're like, oh, I hate them more.
Yeah, motherfucker. They ruins all the comics that they sign.
Oh, man. Horrible. Anyway, so Philly was a good show. I can't complain about that show. I would definitely do it again. And I'm happy to have been a part of it and met everybody there. I wish I actually did have a little bit more time to just go walk around and talk to people. Like, there were some people that I didn't even, like, talk to that were totally there. Like, those, like, Mickey and Allie from Best Available.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even really say, like, but, more than hi to them.
But also, it was cool in Philly because we also premiered and helped premiere Magic Bullet, in which...
Oh,
everyone
yes.
should go check out.
I did want to talk
once,
about
one, if they get to the separate part of the show.
Yes, at the very end of the show, you can hear about Magic Bullet. it's a newspaper of DC cartoonists and artists and writers, and
the best DC, simply the best.
And you can find it in any DC comic book store or music venue or eatery. We're going to try to scatter them around town, and they're all absolutely free. And just so you know, at our upcoming convention appearances, if you spend $15 or more, I will give you one of my personal copies. And I don't have that many, but I will physically give you one of my personal copies.
Are you going to do anything special for these personal copies, or are you just going to give them how they are?
I might just give them how
they are. Should I write them a poem? I should write them a poem since I'm the writer.
Yeah, you should. You should write poems. What type of poems are you going to write? The ones that have like a word that go down and you just pick one word that goes with it?
I don't know.
What are those called?
I'm a pretty awesome poet. I just haven't done it in a long time. I just sort of evolved from that. But I just haven't done it.
And the only reason why I'm really charging for them, if you can find them for free on your own, then that's cool. But if you spend $15 on us, then you get that complimentary copy for free, because I don't have that many.
That's right.
And I can't just give it to anybody.
That's right.
So if you're going to be a loyal fan and spend $15, then I will give an issue of Magic Bullet to you, complimentary while supplies last.
Also, since this is the end of the show, and I don't know how many people are still listening, we have a new book for Baltimore Comic Con that you should definitely tune into, and we'll talk about it next week. Because we've been working on this book for several years now, it feels like.
Yep.
So you guys should definitely check it out. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
We'll catch you all next week. I hope you enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed us taking this adventure like we do.
And Philly is not as dirty as DC.
That's right. And don't look the gift horse in the mouth. If you take anything away from this show, do not look the gift horse in the mouth. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, good night, good night.
I'm
good night.
The kind of-